S'mores. You know that wonderful little snack. And maybe you have after a backyard barbecue. You take a marshmallow or a couple of marshmallows and you put it on a stick. And you either put it over the grill or if you have a backyard fire, you sit around the fire and you don't do like my grandson does, is just stick the marshmallow right in the fire and burn it to a crisp. Nah, that doesn't taste very good, does it? You have to be very careful in getting it to a hot spot, but not too hot, and letting the marshmallow get golden brown and to a point where it's melting that it's starting to slide down the stick, and just before it plunges into the abyss of the fire, you pull it out and you put it on top of that chocolate bar, on top of the graham cracker. Pull the stick out and put the graham cracker on top, but you don't eat it just yet because the chocolate has to melt a little bit. Can you taste it? No matter how much we eat at those little gatherings, maybe where we're used to eating one bratwurst, we eat two, and it doesn't make any difference. There's always room for s'mores. But there comes a time in life where we don't want some more. In fact, we want no more. There comes times in life of pain. Maybe just the kind of chronic pain that's like a drip out of the faucet. It just keeps dripping and dripping and dripping and doesn't stop. Or the kind of pain that's like a flash, a lightning. It just, the pain that brings a lot of problems in life. God, no more. Or there are times of headaches, either physical headaches or figuratively, that occur in our life that lead to all kinds of heartaches. There are times of stress. Stress in our daily life, stress that we just have to kind of live with as a constant pressure, or the kind of stress that just attacks us, a stress that leads to much sadness in our life. Maybe there's fatigue. I'm just tired. The fatigue that leads to maybe even failure at times. And you just get to those points of the day, of the week, of your life. No more. God, I don't want any more. I can't take any more. Today, God has some wonderful news for us. He says, no more. No more hunger. Now when he talks about hunger, he's not talking about that kind of hunger that we feel down here. He's talking about a different hunger, a hunger of our souls. We know how to satisfy this hunger. In fact, has it happened already in your house that you've gotten ads or maybe online for all of the different kinds of ways that you can adorn your Thanksgiving table? And you see those pictures with the golden brown 25-pound turkey and the stuffing and the vegetables, and don't forget the cranberries and the rolls. I've been at tables, and maybe you have, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, where there literally is not enough room for all the plates of food. And so you pass the food around and you take a plate full, and of course you don't want to offend the cook, so the next time it's passed, you take some more, even though you really maybe don't need that more. And then when all the dishes are cleared, oh my goodness, here comes the pumpkin pie with that very healthy Cool Whip on top. Or maybe apple pie with a slice of cheese, if you go that way. My grandmother always used to say, apple pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze. Whatever you take. That kind of hunger in our stomach can be satisfied with that kind of food. But the food that God prepares for us satisfies the hunger of the soul. How does the soul get hungry? What are the hunger pains of the soul? They are the guilt that we have when we know that we don't measure up to the Word of God. I just want to take you back to that second course of God's banquet for us this morning that we read earlier in the worship service. And think again about these words that God speaks to us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. When you hear those words, do you feel sometimes a little guilty? Now, for the most part, we try to be relational and helpful to other people, courteous to other people, but is it always that case? And is it to everybody in our life, evident to all? Or are there times that we become calloused, or we even become impatient with people, and instead of being gentle, we get a little rough with them? Guilt, hunger in the soul. Or God says, do not be anxious about anything. If you only would have added those last words, right? There are many things I'm not anxious about, but about all things am I not anxious? What about the things that are going on in your personal life right now? Are there things that are worrying you? Things that maybe make it hard for you to fall asleep at night, or hard to face the reality of the day? Guilt, the hunger of the soul. But by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Prayer, yes, we pray. But is it sometimes not with thanksgiving, but with complaining? Or God, what are you doing? Guilt, the hunger of the soul. And then he tops it all off with gauging our thought life. Only God can read our thoughts. I can't read yours, you can't read mine, but God can read them all. And what kind of thought life does he say we should have? What we should think about? What's true, noble, right, pure. Thought life that is pure, lovely, admirable. How do we measure up with our thought life? Don't we realize that many times it's not what God is saying? And then comes the hunger, the guilt of not following what the Word of God says. When God knows not only our actions, whether they are gentle toward others, He knows our lack of prayers or the lack of the content of our prayers, and he knows what we even think. Guilt. How do we get rid of it? We can't do it ourselves. And this is where God says, no more hunger. No more. Because, people of God, I'm laying out before you a banquet of my lavishing grace, a banquet that is so rich and full that it completely forgives all of your guilt. Because in Jesus, it's all taken away. It's removed from me. I don't even remember it. And so, like we sang in that little song earlier in our worship, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste him. Taste him spiritually, because he says, no more. No more hunger. Because in the gospel, you have the full forgiveness won by my Son for you. No more hunger. And no more death. This is what the Lord did. He says, I will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever, the Lord will. In Scripture, death is pictured as the great swallower. It swallowed up all of mankind. In the book of Genesis, we read that altogether Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Seth lived 912 years and then he died. Enosh lived 905 years and then he died. Kenan lived 910 years and then he died. It's like a bell tolling. When I was a little guy growing up, on the end of a gravel road in the township of Maple Creek, the church where my family and I attended was just a mile up the road, a little white clapboard, tiny little church. And it was the practice, and maybe some of you can remember these practices. There was a practice that when someone passed away, and because it was a close-knit community, you knew everybody within square miles of the church. And when someone passed away, the deacon would go up before the funeral service and he would ring the bell each time for the number of years that that person was alive. And I can remember being outside and a mile away, if the wind was right, I could hear that bell and it would toll maybe 60 times, maybe 66 times, maybe a little more, and then it would stop. And I just remember the thinking about the stopping. It was to remind me and to remind all of us that death has swallowed up life. Life stopped. And it was all because when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they died. They died at that moment of sin spiritually. They lost the righteousness, the holy image of God. They were separated from God spiritually. They died. And at that moment, in their lives, the seeds of physical death were planted, even though they lived centuries of time. Eventually, they died. And if nothing had changed, they would have passed from that death to eternal death, where they would have been separated from God forever. But death, the great swallower, was itself swallowed up. Jesus Christ swallowed up death, all kinds of death. He swallowed up spiritual death by crediting to you and me the righteousness that he lived in this life. Jesus swallowed up eternal death by taking the guilt of our sins, for which we deserved eternal punishment, and taking it upon himself, so that the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. And Jesus also swallowed up physical death by rising from the grave himself and promising that because he lives, we too will live. Even though we die, we will live. So as scripture clearly teaches, death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, there is no more. There is no more death. And there are no more tears because of that. The scripture, in many different ways, describes for us, in general ways, the treasures that we will have in heaven. Do you remember when he said to the rich young man, if you sell all your worldly goods and give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, he spoke of? And Jesus encourages us, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy or thieves break in and steal. The apostles, for example, the apostle Paul spoke of the hope that we have for us in heaven. And Peter talks about an incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance reserved in heaven for us. But how can we really understand the glorious experience that we will have in heaven when it is so far removed from us, when it is so far above the experience that we have now? And that's why scripture not only describes some of the glory that we'll have in heaven, but also talks about what will not be there. And this is what it says. Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Nothing is going to interrupt the glory of heaven. Nothing is going to take away from the treasure that we have, the paradise that God in his home is going to give to us. There was a little girl who fell down and hurt herself. And she came running and crying to her mother, tears running down her face. And moms, like only moms can do, took her little girl in her arms and brushed the tear off her cheek. And holding tight to her mom and she to her, the little girl said, "Mommy, I feel better, but it still hurts." Isn't that the experience of life here? That we can wipe away tears, maybe literally, or we can take a medicine to take away some of the pain, but we never take away the cause. It's impossible to remove the cause. Maybe you can go to the doctor and the doctor will help you get over one disease, but there's another one around the corner. We'll never take away, in this old order of things, as the Bible says, that which causes tears. But God says no more. In heaven, he not only will wipe away our tears, he'll take away the very reason for our tears. This is the way one of the last words of the Bible puts it. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more. God declared it. The Lord has spoken. The line is given to us in Scripture. So this isn't just wishful thinking or a hope that really doesn't have any basis. This is as true as every other word of our God. The Lord has spoken. There is no more hunger. The gospel of forgiveness gives that to you. There is no more death. Jesus is the one who swallowed up death and gives us the victory. There are no more tears awaiting for us by God's grace when we sit down at the banquet of the feast of eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Doesn't it lead us to just cry out in praise and confession of faith in him like Isaiah did? Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen.